The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 10, text number 53, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on March 25th, 2018, in Vrindavan, India.
Na,
not,
not. Adhi. Adhyatmika, Adibhautika, and Adidaivika sufferings. That is, sufferings from the body and mind. Repeat. That is, sufferings from the body and the mind. From other living entities. And from nature. Vyadhi. Diseases. Jara. Old age. Glani. Bereavement, dukkha, grief, shoka, lamentation, bhaya, fear, klama, and fatigue, mrityu, death, cha, anicchatam, those who did not like it, naasit. There was not Rame during the rule of Lord Ramachandra. Rajani, because of his being the king. Adhokshajay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond this material world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Report. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kali Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Rama is immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. Wow. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Namagate Giram Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatadanam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shatarine. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine such a world? Where nobody feels any bodily or mental suffering. There's no disease. There's no old age. No bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue. Completely absent. Can you imagine such a world? And even if you didn't want to die, you didn't have to. Death is only, well, I feel like dying, I'll go ahead and die. I don't want to die, so I won't. Death was under your control. You had power whether you wanted to die or not. You see? Can you imagine such a world? Is this a myth? Is this a fairy tale? Or is this a fact? It's a fact. That's right. This is historical fact. Don't put the hand in the mouth. this historical fact, there was such an atmosphere on this planet, the very planet we are on right now, there was that atmosphere on this planet. So what's even more amazing is what Prabhupada says here, we can bring back that same atmosphere, even now in the Kali Yuga. That's what's really amazing about this purport. It's like, wow. We can bring it back into the right now, where you don't have to get old, you don't have to get sick, you don't have to die, you don't have to be agitated, you don't have to feel tired, you don't have to die unless you want to. We can bring it back. Well, how can we do it? What's the trick? How do we do it? How do we bring this spiritual revolution? It's very simple. If we chant offenselessly. Now, do you know why we always give the 10 offenses when we give the initiation? Why we always discuss the 10 offenses? Now, do you know why these 10 offenses are so important to know them and to avoid them? Not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the whole world. You say, the amazing thing is, Prabhupada says that even if one person can chant offenselessly, all it takes is one devotee to chant. Prabhupada says if a devotee chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagad Guru, and under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. This takes one person, according to Prabhupada's statement. So should each one of us try to be that one person? Sure. Why not? Why not try to be a spiritual revolutionary simply by the purity of your chanting? So that means that just when I'm chanting, right, the rest of the time I can be offensive, you know, I can offend Vaishnavas, I can be spaced out, disobedient. That's okay as long as I chant around offensively, offenselessly. No. The quality of your japa is seen or understood by your behavior and your mentality throughout the whole day. Just like offending a devotee is an offense against the holy name. So you say, well, I'm not chanting my japa right now, so I'll be offensive to you because it's not during my japa period, so it's okay. No. The quality, even your thoughts, all this adds up to what is the quality of your chanting, you see. What is your mentality at every minute in all times? What is your attitude toward the devotees? And all these, you know, are you committing sinful activities? Am I having illicit sex with my wife? You see? Anything we do which is against the instructions of Prabhupada makes our rounds offensive. And it spoils bringing this atmosphere. And even if we can't make the whole world like this, any devotee who chants the holy name purely lives in a beautiful Vaikuntha atmosphere. You can create your own Vaikuntha atmosphere that you live in. Whether you're a brahmachari, or whether you're a sannyasi, or a householder, male, female, old, young, it doesn't matter. You can create your own Vaikuntha world that you live in at every minute, just by the quality of your chanting. You see? Anxiety is not a given. Anxiety is an option. It's not required to be in anxiety. It's an option. It's optional. If you want to be in anxiety, you can be in anxiety. If you don't want to be in anxiety, you don't have to be in anxiety. Well, how do you opt out? By becoming Krishna conscious. I think I'll opt out of anxiety. I want to live in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. I want to live in a Ram Raja type atmosphere, you see. Krishna Loka type atmosphere. Well, you can do it. You create your own atmosphere by your thoughts, by your words and your deeds. You create your own atmosphere. You can't say, well, the devotees aren't treating me properly, so it's their fault I'm in anxiety. Mm-mm. That's cop-out. That's cheating. Or my spouse, or my godbrothers, or my temple authority, try to blame your anxiety on somebody else. You're a stupid fool if you do that. You're a completely stupid fool. You see? Any anxiety you're experiencing, it's simply your fault. That's all. It's your fault. So take responsibility for your consciousness. Don't blame it on others. Take the full responsibility for your Krishna consciousness and embrace this process as the dearest treasure that you've ever encountered in millions and billions of lifetimes. Embrace it tightly as the greatest treasure. It cannot even be found all the way to Brahmaloka, anywhere in this material existence. This treasure of Prema Bhakti is not of this world. There is nothing in this world that compares with it. It is completely transcendental to this material existence, this Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means Prema Bhakti. Prema Bhakti means Krishna consciousness. Pure love of God. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. Pure love of God. Is it? So cultivating Krishna consciousness means cultivating pure love of God. That's what it means. You understand these points? Are you listening? What does Krishna consciousness mean? Very good. Good boy, he heard me. Very good. Excellent. What about impure love of God? Well, that's where we start off. We start off with impure love of God, you see. Of course, some people don't have love of God at all. They say there is no God, you see. That's the worst position. The middle position is to accept God but take Him for some material purpose. That's called impure love of God. I love Jesus, and after the church service, I go to McDonald's and have a hamburger. You see? I go to church, but then after church we meet. We used to, the big thing was the Sunday dinner. It was a special meal every week. As growing up as a Christian, the Sunday dinner, it's a big special event of the family, a nice fancy meal with fancy the dining room. We had the kitchen table, most of the meals we'd eat there, but on Sunday we'd go to the dining room and a nice, everything, nice, special meal after church. Meat. The Sunday dinner was a very special thing every week. Oh, Mom would really go all out, make that Sunday dinner, Bring out the fine plates and the nice silverware, everything nice, Sunday dinner, Meat. So that impure love of God, even though the Bible says thou shalt not kill, I think Jesus really meant thou shalt not murder, referring to human beings. But that's not what the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You see? So Prabhupada always criticized the Christians for interpreting, instead of taking it literally, giving an interpretation. We have to not do the same thing ourselves. We have to be very careful in Krishna consciousness. We don't also interpret to suit our own sense gratification. We have to take the instructions that Prabhupada has given them. We have to embrace them tightly. Some may say, well, it's not really practical. I think we have to mix in some sense gratification. That means they're not being trained properly. If devotees think we have to mix in some sense gratification because we can't really take to pure bhakti, we have to mix it with sense gratification right now at our present stage. I mean, they're not trained properly. But some not being trained properly by whoever. You see? Because the fact is, if you embrace pure bhakti, Krishna empowers you. Krishna empowers you to conquer your senses. You see? If you say, Krishna, my only desire now is to serve you with pure love, bus, finished, nothing else. I have one desire, and that's to please Krishna. You say, well, I have so many desires. How can I say that? Well, why don't you can beg for it. Right now, let's face it, we have so many desires. I want this, isn't it? So many desires. But if we can understand we should have only one desire, and that is pure love of God, we can understand that philosophically, right? So here's what you do. Even though you're bombarded with so many material desires, you see saying, Krishna, please bless me. My only desire will be to serve you. You just keep begging for him. You may say, well, is there any value in begging for them? Well, do you think Krishna might reciprocate with you? If you regularly beg him, my dear Lord, please let me have only one desire, and that is to please you. Do you think Krishna will like that prayer or not? Do you think he'll be annoyed by it? Or do you think he might be pleased if you're begging for pure bhakti? And do you think if you're begging for pure bhakti, he might help you? You think he might be willing to help you out? Make some special arrangement by who you get to associate with, what happens to you at every moment of your day? Krishna is orchestrating your whole life for you right now. Do you know that? It's not by the material. The Kali Yuga is not orchestrating your life. It's all being orchestrated by Krishna. According to your consciousness, he is orchestrating your life right now. Whether you're laid off, whether you're employed, whatever your position is, a student, a retiree, every one of us, what's happening to us at every minute is being orchestrated by Krishna according to our degree of desire to develop pure love for him or lack of desire to develop pure love for him. It's all orchestrated by Krishna. So just thinking a rough example of this orchestration. When I was in high school, I was in the orchestra playing the violin. But then I was pretty good, so they upgraded me to the all-city orchestra. So you can be in the low-class local orchestra. You can be in the high-class, the all-city orchestra, the prestigious for the top-notch musicians to get to be in the all-city orchestra. So you can be in the run-of-the-mill orchestration of birth, death, old age, and disease. You can be in the high-level orchestration, back to home, back to God. It's your choice. Which orchestra do you want to play in, you see? Birth, death, old age, and disease, or back to home, back to God. You have the choice. And Krishna reciprocates with you at every minute according to your consciousness. What kind of thought you wake up in the morning? Today, let me now cultivate pure love of God. And is that your thought you wake up with in the morning? It should be. Every day you should wake up, Krishna, please bless me with pure love. And there's a special prayer that's ideal for that. Do you know that prayer? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the point is, don't chant your rounds mechanically. We have a tendency to do that. It's called offensive japa. We should not chant our rounds mechanically just to get them over with. Prabhupada made fun of us one time, you know. He was sitting with his servant, Chudakirti. Prabhupada, he finished a round, he put his feet, he said, now I finished my rounds, I can do any damn thing I want. He was making fun of us. Knowing our mentality. Let's get these things over with now. I can do whatever I want. You see? Prabhupada was making fun of us. He knows our mentality. You see? So do yourself a favor. Instead of trying to get your rounds over with, try to increase the quality. It doesn't mean you have to chant 24 hours a day because we have to go to work or something. But since you're spending the time chanting anyway, why not try to chant with pure love. So, my dear Krishna, please bless me with pure bhakti. Hare Krishna. In that mood, you see. Because that's the actual meaning. You're begging to Krishna. Hare is Radharani, you see. Mother Harab. Radharani. You're begging Radha and Krishna. You're directly approaching Radha and Krishna and begging them that you can awaken pure love for them. That's what japa means, you see. So, you know, it's admittedly, our japa is very offensive, and it takes many years to perfect it. Of course, we could perfect it immediately, but we're not so advanced. But if you keep chanting, you don't give it up, you follow regulated principles, you keep your vows. Some disciples, I'm very disturbed, some of my disciples have given up. They don't chant anymore. They didn't take their initiation vows very seriously. I've heard reports, it's like a knife going to my heart when I hear such things. I've taken the karmic responsibility for this person, and they're spitting on me. Basically what they're doing, they're spitting on me by giving up their vow, you see. Here you give your life to help a person, they're virtually spitting on me. How would you feel? You see? So I have to deal with that stuff. People they don't take their initiation vows very seriously. But the real meaning of initiation is to take it as your life and soul. You see? No matter what happens, I'm going to chant my rounds. One time I got arrested. I was engaged in a very sinful activity called distributing Back to Godhead magazine on a parking lot in Leesburg, Florida. They put me in jail. 36 hours I spent in jail. At least they gave me a private cell. I didn't have any bad association. That was good. But I didn't have my beads. So you chant on your fingers, you know. Point is, in every situation you chant Hare Krishna, you never give it up. Everything else can be given up. Absolutely anything and everything else can be given up. But I cannot give up my vow to chant my rounds, you see. I cannot give that up. I can give up my house, I can give up my car, give up my job, even lose my family. I can give up everything. But I can never give up that vow I've made to my spiritual master, is to chant 16 rounds every day at least. So if we take this very seriously, it's revolutionary. The more we awaken our Krishna consciousness, the more we're actually helping to create a better atmosphere in this world. Just like the Bhagavatam, it's stated about the Bhagavatam in the first canto. That literature, which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Our movement, our Bhagavatam, is meant for bringing about a revolution. Our movement is meant for bringing about a revolution. And we are meant for bringing about a revolution on this planet by offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting is revolutionary. I'll repeat again the last sentence of the purport. If we chant offenselessly, Rama and Krishna are still present in this age. When you chant offenselessly, Krishna is personally present. Just as if you can go to the spiritual world, you can meet with Krishna directly. If you chant offenselessly his name Krishna, Krishna is directly present right here, right now, in his full potencies. And Rama also, same thing. The kingdom of Rama was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Krishna consciousness movement, this Hare Krishna movement, can immediately introduce a similar situation. That's really amazing. Immediately, Prabhupada says. Not that we have to wait, you know, 100 years. Immediately can introduce a similar situation. So what are we waiting for? Let's give up our offenses. According to Prabhupada, if devotees in this movement can now purely chant the holy names of Krishna, according to Prabhupada's statement, there'll be a similar situation than it is all over the world. There's so much anxiety now about terrorism. I mean, it's going crazy. Y'all heard the news about Austin? Anybody see the news? It's some 23-year-old guy. He got real frustrated, so he started building bombs. And he would put it on somebody's doorstep, and they would open it up, and they would blow up and kill him. Right there in Austin. He was picking out different people. He put a bomb on their porch, a package, you know, like some package was delivered. And as soon as they touch the thing, it blows up and it kills them. And then he set a tripwire. He put another bomb. He put a tripwire out in the street. Some people walking down the street, they hit the tripwire and it blew up. And they finally caught him, and he blew himself up. And they closed in on him, and he blew up himself with a bomb. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on right there in Austin. One of our neighbors, some young kid who had no criminal record. The atmosphere is so polluted now that a 23-year-old kid who had no criminal record, he was considered to be a nice guy, he starts doing this crazy thing. He wasn't he wasn't nothing with Al-Qaeda. He wasn't a part of a terrorist organization. Just some kid got frustrated. He learned how to make bombs off the internet, and he started killing people. He only killed a few, but he had more on the list. But the law enforcement came in from Washington. The U.S. put their full energy into finding this guy, and they did it. They very expertly found him out. He made a mistake of dropping off one of his bombs at a FedEx facility and with his car in the parking lot, and they picked up the license plate number from the security camera, and that's how they caught him. He parked his car in front of the security camera. They had a picture of him coming in and dropping off the package, and they figured out that was the package that blew up. So, but this is just an ordinary kid, 23-year-old kid. But to speak, this is, shows you how degraded and how horrible atmosphere we have on this planet now. I mean, y'all remember the days remember when there was no airport security? Y'all used to fly, you just go to the airport. When Prabhupada arrived, we'd all go right to the jet bridge, have a big kirtan. Now you can't do that, you can't get in. Because there's so much anxiety. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Every year, there's more anxiety. Now in the schools, in the U.S., some kid who dropped out of school, he bought an AK-47. Yes, this is Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavatam. Prabhupada discussed such things in the lectures. Prabhupada discussed such things. Yes, he did. He would give examples. He told the whole story of a murder that was committed in a big, long, detailed description. It was one. My point is that now they're going to the schools, they're taking. He shot 17 kids dead with a high powered automatic weapon. He went to school, shot 17 kids dead in the U.S. These are symptoms of the age of Kali. This is my point. It's not a nice atmosphere right now on this planet. It's a very demoniac atmosphere. It's getting worse and worse and worse. What do you speak of the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics, which are considered okay by the governments? So the point is, we can actually do something to counteract this atmosphere just by the quality of our chanting. We can simply learn how to chant offenselessly these names. We can simply, even if we can't chant offenselessly, we endeavor to chant offenselessly. There's three stages of chanting. There's the offensive stage, the offenseless stage, and there's the clearing stage. So if we can simply situate ourselves in the clearing stage, we're in good shape, you see. That means gradually clearing off the offenses. The clearing stage. It's like the sunrise in the morning. There's complete night, and then there's the full day. But there's one period before the sun rises where there's a... You don't see the sun yet, but there's a brightness on the horizon. You've seen? You've all seen. The sun hasn't risen yet, but there's something happening on the eastern horizon. It's getting brighter. That's the clearing stage, you see. To be in complete Maya, that's night. To be a pure devotee, seeing Krishna face to face, directly reciprocating with it every minute, that's the sunshine. But being neophyte devotees who are trying to develop the pure name, that's like the light coming on the eastern horizon. So Krishna is starting to manifest for us already, you see. Krishna is already starting to manifest for us, the clearing stage. That's why we get taste for the name. That's why we, even though we're not being paid to chant Hare Krishna, we're doing it, you see. Here I've been working very hard for to serve this institution since 1971 because I'm getting some taste, you see. We're getting taste. So in this clearing stage, taste is coming. We're getting some taste. And the more you become cleared, the more the taste increases. So be patient, be determined, and be enthusiastic. This is the instruction. Patiently wait for that day when pure love of God becomes manifest. Be very patient, be very enthusiastic, and very determined. Prabhupada gives the example of a woman. She's gotten married. She wants a child. She understands. Now she's patiently waiting. She knows I'm married, so certainly I will have a child. Not that immediately I have to have a child. The next day after the wedding, where's my child? Husband, where's my child? I'm married, why I don't have a child? No, she patiently waits. You see, patiently waiting, Prabhupada gives the example. You have a husband, certainly your child will be there. You have to be patient. So now we have Guru, we have Krishna, we embrace this process, so that we are patiently awaiting that day when pure love of God will fully manifest in our hearts. As Prabhupada told me, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That day is coming for each one of us. You take the initiation, you keep your vows, that day will come when you will personally see Krishna. He will personally reveal himself to you. You become a pure devotee, just like we read about in the Bhagavatam. You'll be just like the pure devotee you read about in the Bhagavatam. You'll be like that. You yourself will be like them. That day will come if you patiently follow this process. So, we have any questions? We have some devotees tuned in also on the internet. If there's any questions, we can try to answer them. The question, are you in Vrindavan? Yes. At least I'm trying to be. It's not easy to be in Vrindavan. You can physically be in Vrindavan, but unless you're in the mood of pure love, you're not really in Vrindavan, you're in the shadow of Vrindavan. So I come in the shadow of Vrindavan, trying to come to the real Vrindavan, begging for the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Even though I'm physically in Vrindavan, to actually enter in the holy abode of Krishna requires pure love. You see, those who are actually in Vrindavan, they can see Krishna directly here, because his lilas are still going on to this very day. Those who are actually in Vrindavan can see the pastimes of Krishna happening right here. This area called Ramanriti, this is where Krishna and the cowherd boys had their leelas. So one who actually fully awakened, he can see the leelas are happening right now. He can see them right now happening. So I'm not really in Vrindavan yet, but I'm working on getting in Vrindavan. To be honest, I'm not really in Vrindavan. I'm in the physical city of Vrindavan, yes, but as far as the actual spiritual Vrindavan, I'm working on it. Working on it. Every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So any other questions? Yes?
What is the cause of offenses? Why
Let me get my amp. Where's my amp? I had my hearing aid amp. Go ahead, tell me. Try.
Why do we commit offenses during chanting? What is the reason for offenses?
Try to become offenseless while chanting.
Why do we commit offenses during chanting?
Why do we commit offenses while chanting? Because we're stupid. We're just damn stupid. We keep committing these offenses because we're just stupid. We're dull-headed fools. That's why we keep committing offenses. Just dull-headed fools. Our brains are like not very sharp. Dull-headed fools. That's why we keep chanting offenselessly. Offensively, I mean to say. We keep committing offenses because of our dull-headed foolishness. That's why. Any other questions? Yes.
During chanting, many times we can't, we are unable to hear the whole word of Hari.
Able to hear the whole word of what?
Whole words, 16 words of.
You're missing some of the syllables?
Syllables.
Yeah, we have to learn how to hear every syllable, you know, not nishnishnam, 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 nam, finished. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have to learn it. I mean, Hare Hare, that's Radharani. So you want to leave off the two Hare's at the end? You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And leave off those Hare Hare's at the end? You're just offending Radharani and neglecting Radharani, is it? So those two Hare's at the end, sometimes the devotees go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Those two Hare's get left out. Oh, thank you. Those two Hare's get cut off. It's offending Radharani. Any other questions?
Sometimes we skip the best of words. Sometimes we skip it.
Let me see if I get my hearing aids working properly. Something's going wrong with them. Yeah, they're not functioning properly. The amp. Technical difficulties are with these stupid things. They're not amping up. Okay.
Sometimes we skip the syllable. By best.
Yeah, well, don't do them. We have to get out of the habit of skipping and dropping syllables. We have to.
We chant mechanically, but skip to hear.
We have to. They have to give up the bad habits. A bad habit, though, to drop syllables. Now, actually, Prabhupada would sometimes go Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So, that's not, because that is all right. One chance that way. Actually, the subtle ma is there. You can't, even Ram, there's a subtle. Comes after. You can chant Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. It's okay. It's a subtle after the M.
He's not talking about that. He says he skipped to hear.
But everything else has to be. Yeah?
He doesn't say that about that, but he's saying that he skipped to hear whole mantra.
My hearing aid is problematic right now. It's not working properly. What is it? Hear?
He's skipping to hear whole mantra.
No, you have to hear, chant, and hear. Prabhupada said every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. That's the order from Prabhupada. Every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. If you're not doing that, you're committing offense. You're blocking yourself from experiencing Krishna and Radharani directly. So every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. Yes? Anyone else? Yes.
You mentioned in the beginning, being offensive to a devotee affects my chanting. But sometimes I feel like you're offensive to a non-devotee because they are being offensive to you. Does that also affect my chanting?
If you're offensive towards a non-devotee? Well, actually, everyone's a devotee, ultimately. All living entities are devotees. They just forgot. It is mentioned, I think it's Bhakti Vinod's writing, called Jiva Aparad. We should not be offensive to anyone. A Vaishnava sees Krishna within the heart of all living entities, even the mosquito. And we have to kill them. We can, because they attack. Aggressors can be killed. But the Vaishnava's mood is respectful, even a little ant. You know the story of Mrigari the Hunter? Even a little ant. Is that ant a devotee? No. But he's respected as a. He was given all respect, yes. So we had respect every living being, even the little ant. If we're offensive to any living entity, that affects our job. We have to have good relationships with everyone. Yeah.
Sometimes some relatives, they push to eat onion and garlic. They say, why don't you eat?
Yes, only sometimes, or all the time. Well, my grandmother said, why don't you become a Christian preacher, you know? So, the relatives are relative. You can neglect their nonsense pushings. It's not offensive. It's not that out of respect you have to eat onions and garlic. You're not being offensive when you don't eat onions and garlic. You see? It's not that if you don't do what they say, you're being offensive. No. They may feel offended. They may be offended. You don't eat. They offer you their dinner with those onions and garlic, and you don't take it, and they're offended. That's not, you haven't committed an offense. They've committed an offense, not you. You understand? Just because they're offended doesn't mean you committed an offense. You have to act in accordance with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Then you're properly situated. Even if they're offended, that's their problem, not yours. Someone may find my tilak offensive. Some person in an airport, I find that offensive, what you have on your forehead. So I have to take it off? It's his offense, not mine. Sometimes we have to be heavy with them also. Sometimes we have to chastise the non-devotees. Sometimes we have to do them. And so that's good for them. One time I was out distributing Simply Wonderfuls on University Avenue in Gainesville, Florida, right by the university campus. Some smart aleck had a nice basket of Simply Wonderfuls. Here's passing them out to everybody up and down the street. So this smart aleck hippie comes up and goes, kawam! And he hits all those Simply Wonderfuls out into the street. So what do? You go, no, I chastise him very heavily. I said, you better get out there and pick up all those sweets right now. I yelled right in his face. I yelled right in his face, and I was this far away from him. I yelled, pointed the finger right like that. I yelled at him very heavily. You know what happened? He got out and did it. He neutralized his offense. My chastisement actually inspired him to go out and pick up all the sweets in the middle of the street, put them back in the basket. So that freed him of the offense he committed against Prasadam. So sometimes we have to chastise these rascals, you see. Sometimes we have to chastise them. And that's good for them. The chastisement of a Vaishnava is a great blessing, isn't it? Just like we get chastised by Guru Mantra, it's a great blessing. But we shouldn't act that way because let her be peaceful, you know. But we do so many nonsense things, Guru Mantra has to chastise us. And we're being blessed, but let's not. We have to all try not to do these stupid things, and so she has to get angry at us. You see, but as an example, when the Vaishnava chastises, it's very good for us. But we have to try to act in such a way that they don't have to chastise us. This is Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yeah.
Sometimes
sometimes ordinary people offend the devotees.
Ordinary people?
Offend the devotees.
Oh, they're very offensive, yeah.
Yeah. So, seeing that, how do we react? Because we should not be committing jiva apradha. Because they get offended very easily.
Well, you have to see where you can be effective. If you can effectively correct them for being offensive towards the devotee, they're greatly benefited. It's a matter of how much you're empowered by Krishna to know exactly what to say in exactly the right way. I lucked out with that hippie. It worked with him. So this is the art of preaching. And the thing is, by preaching, practice makes perfect. You make the endeavor to do the right thing, and you'll get better at it. So we encourage you to preach. Encourage you to correct them. Because in the beginning, you may be a little awkward, but if you keep doing that sort of thing, you'll become expert at it. I mean, we're meant to lead the whole world out of chaos. Prabhupada wants us to lead the whole world out of chaos. He said, deliver the world. So we have to learn how to give instructions to people when they do things that are wrong. We have to learn how to do them. And so we shouldn't just... A preacher is bold. He's not shy. He's very bold. We should be bold preachers. Daring and active, Prabhupada said. He wants it to be daring. It's in the Bhagavad Gita Purport, daring and active. We should become very bold for pushing forward this movement and training these people to become Krishna conscious. Aggressive. Prabhupada said, I came to your country as an aggressor. So every devotee should be, our guru, our founder Acharya is aggressive. We ought to be aggressive for pushing forward Krishna consciousness. That's the right mood. Anything else? What about from the online people? Okay, here we go. Here we have a few more. I tell you, we're getting a little over time, and so whatever questions are here, I'll answer these two and then we'll stop. Of course, there's no breakfast today, so it's still there's service to be done. Okay, is it my duty to remind myself and devotees around me to chant japa so attentively and offenselessly? Or do I need just to focus on improving my job and I consider the near and dear ones? If you go into the temple room every day and you start giving a lecture to all the devotees, you know what you, the time, place, and circumstance. If you're asked to give a class, then you can talk about it. But I wouldn't go into the Melbourne temple room, make an announcement, you know, stand up and make an announcement during the japa period. That everybody should remember to chant offenselessly. We recite the 10 offenses. As far as your near and dear ones, the most important thing is you focus on making your chanting pure. That's the most important thing. As far as your near and dear ones, that's your wife. If you notice that your wife is chanting offenselessly, you should definitely instruct her. But you have to be the example, you see. Not that you just tell people and you maintain your own bad habits. Is offenseless chanting when our mind doesn't run away from the holy names? That's right. When your mind stays fixed in chanting Hare Krishna, now you're on the right track. Because inattentive chanting is an offense. Attentive chanting means you're on the right track. Is it offensive I focus more on a picture? On picturing Krishna's pastimes and hearing. This reminds me when I was in Los Angeles as a young devotee back in, I wasn't even initiated, but some devotee was chanting and I had a picture and he was going, Hare Krishna. I must have been like, Hare Krishna, Krishna. His mind was more on the picture than the holy names. Prabhupada chastised him. So, the most important thing you could chant in front of a picture. It's okay, but you shouldn't be focusing on the picture. You should be focusing on the holy name. You could actually see, have a picture of Krishna or a deity of Krishna, and you could be married, "My dear Lord, please bless me, I can purely chant your names," and then go into the sound vibration. You shouldn't be, your consciousness should be on the sound vibrations. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You will say, "Well, I'm more attracted to the picture." Well, that's because you're a neophyte devotee. You don't realize that Krishna and his name are one and the same. The name is the most powerful way of connecting. You see, the picture of the deity is there to help us go deeper into the name, not that the name is there to help us go deeper into the deity. In this age, hearing and chanting is the Yuga Dharma, not deity worship. So in this age, we have to take the hearing and chanting as the primary thing. The other things help that. The deity worship helps our chanting. That's the understanding. We do deity worship to help us go deeper into chanting. Chanting is the essence of our process, hearing and chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, the essence of our process of spiritual awakening, especially now in the Kali Yuga. Krishna's name is the primary means of connecting. Other things are accepted to help us chant better. So, we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all very much for tuning in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Gurudev ki jai.